break it up. Just speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, and we do give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, verse 1. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God who is at North Park, and those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints with all those in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ. Now, again, last week we were looking at how Paul encouraged them, and then how he got a letter from the household of Chloe. And he got a report of what was going on with the church there. And so this is really is kind of like a letter of a correction that, and he wrote this letter when he was in Ephesians. This is when he wrote to the Corinthians. And when he was in Corinthians, he wrote to the church of Rome. But again, I mentioned if you can go back to that very day when you were struggling with whether it's addiction or whatever sin you might be dealing with and you're struggling with, that you're really having a hard time with, you can go back to, and look, where did I start that? When did this all happen? You could correct that. Now if they can go back, they would have saw how this all happened, how they allowed what was going on in Corinth, that the sin and the worldly living and how that they allow that to infest their coming together, their worship of God and within the church, personally and corporately. And because again, Corinth was a very polluted city with every kind of worldly pleasure you can think of, and I'm sure you can think of it, that was going on. But this affected the believers, it affected the church of Corinth, it affected the leadership members, and that led to, as we're going to, I want you to look at verse 12 with me real fast. Because this was one of what was they sent in the letter, it fostered the division that was happening there. So in verse 12, Paul says, "Now I say that each of you say, hey, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ." And you wanted to be of, you know, you wanted to be of Christ, but it was more than just, okay, you're saying you're Paul, you're saying you're Apollos, you're saying you're of Peter or Cephas, and you're saying you're of Christ. Well, that was for the self-righteous ones, the ones who were thinking they were better than anybody else. Let me ask you this question that Paul asked them. Is Christ divided? Okay, are you with me? Okay, is Christ divided? Okay, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. You weren't. And so he brought this to their attention. Now, I was thinking about this, and I was listening to Chuck Smith, and maybe this is where it all started, where all the different denominations that we have today started. Maybe it's right here, where they're saying, hey, no, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. So you have these different gatherings or this the different differences. Maybe this is where all these different denominations that we have today came into play. I was kind of thinking, okay, how many are there? Have you ever sat back and tried to think about all the different denominations, all the different type of churches that are happening today? Well, the main ones that, yeah, we have the Methodists, we have the Presbyterians, we have the Lutherans, the Catholics, the Baptists, the Pentecostal, Apostolic, non-denominational churches, Calvary Chapel. I mean, the list can go on and it can go on. But I want to share what Chuck Smith said, because I like what he said. He said that about the different denominations. This is what he said. This is what he said. He said, they all have their place in the body of Christ. Sometimes we don't think about that. They all have their place in the body of Christ. And myself, I agree with that. I believe they all do. He said he didn't think they were all bad, but that the Lord actually uses them, which I agree 100%. And you want to know why? It's because, first I want you to look at each other. Go ahead. No. Now, well, yeah, we all are sinners. The reason why is because we are all different. We're all different. And that's why I would agree. We're all different, even how we worship the Lord. We're all different. Even the pastors and how they teach and their presentation, we are all different. I teach different than Pastor Lou. I teach different than Pastor Richard, Tony, Neil, Fernando, Dan. We're all different. I teach different than all of you who do teach. And this is the same for you women as well. When you come here on Monday nights, you have a different teacher. They're different. We all are different in how we teach and how we minister to others as well. And I have recognized, and this is something that I pray all the time for the ministry, being here. I have recognized that there are some of you who need a more deeper teaching, and some of you who need a more simpler teaching. Why? Because we are a mixed multitude of maturity. We are a mixed multitude of faith here, even here at our church and all over. There's a mixed multitude. And I realize that some of us have a more conservative type of worship. Okay, we worship more conservative. And there's others who like to be more hyper and more emotional in their worship of God. I don't want to, you know, when I worship God in behind my closed door, I have a mean, an awesome worship dance. And I'm not going to show it to you because then we would end up having a dance-off. Okay, I can't show you. But I love that emotional type of worship when I can get in with the Lord and just let my emotions go and worship God. Some churches, they do within the body of Christ, okay? They do. But that's how they worship the Lord. And some of us are more conservative. You go to a church that's more conservative where you think, wow, they're just like dead or whatever. That's how they worship the Lord. I even think it's the same. And when we, even in our worship songs, when we worship the Lord, when we sing, some of us here, how many of you were raised up with the old hymns? Okay. If you raise your hand, it tells you how old you are. Okay. So some of you are smart. Okay. You don't want to tell. But I like the old hymns, but I only really know a few of them. The one that's like John 3:16, Amazing Grace. Have they taken Amazing Grace from back then when they sang it to the more the Calvary Chapel style and now today where there's more upgrade. And it's beautiful and powerful all around. Amazing Grace. And maybe the old Rugged Cross. I don't know all of them, but some of you have been raised up in the old hymns. And then there's the of you like myself who were raised up in the 70s and 80s through the Calvary Chapel old songs. Which, man, I love them. I love the old school. And then we have not too many of you, but we all love them, who are raised up in today's worship that are very powerful. The more younger generation who like more instruments, more lights, more this. And so we, even within our worship, we're different. We're different. But they all have their place in the body of Christ. Okay, so don't ever think that church there, they're different. They have their place in the body of Christ, okay? But the teaching of the Word of God, I believe in every denomination, it should be deep enough that a mature believer can swim in it, okay? And a new believer won't drown in it. Okay? You hear that? It should be, there should be a balance. There needs to be a balance when you teach the Word of God. Now, Greg Laurie said this. I like what he said. He said this. He said, too much of the Word and not enough of the Spirit, you dry up. Too much of the Spirit and not enough of the Word, you blow up. But a balance of both, you grow up. So you got to have a balance in your life. Now, Chuck, he went on and he said he doesn't have a problem with the denominations, and I agree. He only had a problem with their overemphasis on doctrine issues and church policy. And when the flesh gets in the way, and it has to be our way or the highway. You have to do it our way or there's the door. Or their emphasis on how everyone has to believe the way I believe or you're not a true believer. Have you came across that? Or maybe you're someone like that. Hey, you don't believe like I believe, then you're not a true believer. We had them. I seen them. I heard them. And that type of difference, when you have that type of difference, that type of attitude, that leads to arguments, and that ends up into what? Divisions, and they start to build walls between the churches. There's a lot of churches that they have walls built up that they won't allow any other denomination, any other person or church to get in there. Okay, we're it. We're the ones. What if I say, hey, we're the real church? And all the other churches, they're not the real. We're the real church. You guys are the real God, people of God. They're not. That would be a wall built up. A wall that Jesus came to tear down, to knock that wall, separation between God and the body of Christ. God did that. Jesus did that. And the church is, every time Jesus knocked the wall, the church gets a block, mortar, puts it on. Tries to build that wall up of separation. Guys, we have seen revival. We have heard of revival that has been going on in different denominations outside of Calvary Chapel, outside of this church. Even in the right now, there's a great revival going on in colleges that are happening. The Generation Z. We had ours. Us older generation, we had ours in the Jesus movement. And now it's happening with the Generation Z, you know, the younger gen, the young adults. We are seeing and we're hearing about this. We're seeing people come to Jesus Christ. People are getting saved. And it's, you got to remember this. It's about building the body of Christ, not your church. I'm not here to build this church, okay? I'm here to build the body of Christ. If they get saved, the multitudes of angels rejoice. If they don't come here, it don't matter. What matters is they're going to heaven. I want them to come here, but God in Acts, it tells us that we're the water, we're the plant, but God brings the increase. God's the one that's going to fill the church. And let me tell you this, God knows what type of worship and teaching you need in your life. God knows. So we have all these different churches and where, you know, you can go and you can meet God and worship and experience church. A lot of us listen online to these pastors and these churches that have dynamic teaching, deep teaching. And the deepest teaching I listened to was at a pastor's conference. And it was so deep that it went like this. It went over my head. And I was sitting there, and I'm looking at everybody, and everybody's like, wow, and they're taking notes. And I'm like, is it just me? I thought, man, I guess it's just me. I can't retain that. It was very deep. He was a professor teaching out of the Word of God. And it was real deep. And I said, you know, I couldn't retain it. Not that I was in the world or anything, it was just really deep. But I saw guys there that were really taking it in. But we all have our differences in the churches. God knows. And we go there to meet God and worship, to experience God. And God loves the different denominations because the church is totally made up of all kinds of different many believers. So it's okay to disagree on some issues within the church. But we have to learn to do it what? Agreeably. Okay? And we have to allow the unity of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ. Now, I know that there are some important doctrinal issues that cannot be accepted or compromised according to Scripture. Okay? And that's when we need to make a biblical stand no matter what. There are some churches I will not agree with and I'm not going to compromise. And I won't. No compromise whatsoever. You have to stand on the Word of God. And one of those issues that we need to make a stand on is Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm always telling you guys that. Jesus Christ is the critical issue. Everything else is negotiable. Okay? Everything else is negotiable, but it has to be according to the Word of God. And there's some issues in the different denominations like Peter and Paul and Apollos and Christ that they were going through. There are some issues that we just need to be able to come to an agreement. Okay? To disagree, especially when it comes to our own opinions, okay, or our own translations. Again, Chuck said, the things you don't understand, you got to lean to the things that you do, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I will make a stand on Jesus, okay? But if you want to say, hey, you know, you have to be baptized or else, well, do you feel that way? Go ahead, get baptized. You know, it has to be according to Scriptures. You know, when I was in Mexico, Wednesday, I went to Mexico to do treatment. And I was sitting next to this Amish lady. And she was talking, you know, we were talking. And she told me she was from Minnesota. And I think, wow, you got Amish people in Minnesota where it's freezing? And I said to her, I said, wow, that's my football team. I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. And she goes, oh, are you? I said, yeah. Well, there was another couple, and I think they were Mennonites that were sitting across. And the guy looked at me, he says, what do you do for a living? I said, oh, I'm a pastor of a church here, right here in San Diego. So you're a minister. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, how do you call yourself a minister, become a minister, and do football? And I looked at him, and I know where he was, what he was getting to. So I didn't want to get into no sitting there getting treatment and debate something. So I don't know. I can't remember exactly how. I think one of the nurses came, and we got off the subject. And so I just didn't pursue it. I just let it be, because again, one of those. Issues of, okay, if you're a pastor, then how do you, because they don't believe in that kind of stuff. Even the Amish, they don't believe in, I guess, electricity or television or stuff that's totally worldly. They think if you're a believer, you cannot have any type of worldly material things and all this. Cell phone, yeah, they do have cell phones. Now they're getting more. So again, it's okay to disagree, but you have to do it agreeably, especially the body of Christ. And so I just left it like that, okay? And I just said, okay, Lord, that's okay. God knows that Minnesota Vikings are a winning team. Anyway, so now, in light of that, I want you guys to bear with me here, okay? Stay awake. If the person next to you is asleep, just kind of knock them off their chair. No, just kind of nudge on them. Because in the beginning of Paul's letter, and I know you guys know this, he uses his style of writing, and I was looking at this as I was listening, the style of writing, that how they wrote letters back then, and how they, when they wrote letters, and Paul did this, they start off writing the letter who it's from. So Paul, we don't do that. I don't know about you, but when I write a letter, I always put my name at the end. Anybody here put their name in the beginning? Unless maybe it's like a resume or something. But most of your letters you write at the end. Back then, they always put it at the beginning. So Paul goes to whom he's writing to. Well, look at verse 2. Okay, he says, to the church of God at Corinth and to those who are set apart in Christ Jesus, okay? And I like this style. I like how this is brought up, and I'm going to tell you why. So he starts off with who it's written from, and then he goes into this salutation, which are greetings. Look at verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And then from there he goes into his a thanksgiving. Look at verse 4. He says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Jesus Christ. So we see this style of writing in Paul's other books as well. And here's where I want you to stay with me, okay? I'm going to read the first couple of verses of all the books that he wrote. He wrote most of the New Testament. Did you know that? Yeah. So I want you to stay with me because I'm going to tell you why I want you to hear this. Very important. Yeah, I didn't think anything of this, and, you know, but as I was reading it, I realized, wow, there's a message here for the church, okay, for us today. So if you're really super fast, you can turn to it. If you're not, listen, okay? So this is 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul wrote the book of Romans. In chapter 1, he wrote who is from Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And as I read his position in Christ, I want you to take it in how you should be, how you're supposed to be yourself. He was a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He was called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Who he wrote it to, he says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. The salutation or the greetings, he writes the same, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then his thanksgiving is, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken out throughout the whole world. Isn't that great that someone can say, hey, I heard of you. Have you ever had that happen? Oh, I know you. I have. I don't know who they were. And every time somebody says that, I get worried. I say, oh, what did you hear? I think the worst. Oh, I was in Costco getting supplies. And the lady at the cash register, she goes, I know you. And I looked at her and I'm like, I don't know her. Oh, I said, oh, really? She goes, yeah, you did the funeral service for my nephew. And I'm like, wow. Guys, you don't know who's watching, so you better be careful, because I didn't know that. She was one of the, just sitting in the service there when I did the service. So, okay, Paul wrote Galatians, the book of Galatians. Listen to chapter 1, verse 1. He says, it's from Paul the apostle, and it wasn't through men, nor through man, from man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. To whom he was writing? Well, it was to all the brethren who are with me, to all the believers who in Galatia. The greetings, the same, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The thanksgiving here, it says, who Jesus, he gave himself for our sins. A lot to be thankful for, right? That he might deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and amen. That's a lot to be thankful for as a people of God. He wrote Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Bear with me, guys, okay? I'll tell you why. Again, look, if anybody's nodding out, wake them up. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Who is written? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. To whom he wrote it to? To the saints who are in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. The greetings, again, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The thanksgiving is to all who have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that a lot to be thankful for? Let me tell you something. If you feel that God is not moving in your life, you feel God's not speaking to you, think about all that he has done for you, all the blessings that he has done for you. He wrote the book of Philippians. I almost said Philippines. Philippians, chapter 1, listen to what he says. He says, Paul and Timothy, who are bondservants of Jesus Christ, who is it written to? It's written to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. And to the bishops and to the deacons. the salutation, the greetings. Again, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The thanksgiving, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. When I think of that, every remembrance of you, I thank God that my family saved. I thank God my children are saved. I thank God my grandchildren are saved. I thank God that you guys are still here. I thank God that you're still awake. I thank God. We got a lot to be thankful for. Keep that in mind. Okay? He wrote the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, who is written to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ Jesus who are in Colossians. Salutation, the greetings, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The thanksgiving, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. Praying for you. He wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, who to? The church of Thessalonians, the church of God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the greetings, grace to you, and peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. The thanksgiving, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Keep that in mind. 2 Thessalonians, he wrote, chapter 1, verse 1, same. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church in Thessalonians in God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the same. Greetings, grace to you, and peace from God, the Father, Lord Jesus Christ. The thanksgiving is a little different. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting. It is fitting, okay? Because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. You get that part? I think that's something that we definitely should keep in mind. 1 Timothy, he wrote, chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Did you know that you're saved by God's commandment? Be safe. He did that. You just couldn't hear it. When they were talking to you, God said, be saved. Or, hope you get saved. Or, do you want to be saved? Be saved. And I got saved. To who? To Timothy, a true son of faith. The greetings, grace, mercy. He has mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote 2 Timothy, same. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Jesus Christ. Remember, he said he knew you before the foundation of the world even existed. That's God's will. His will is to get saved. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Stay with me. We're almost done here. The thanksgiving, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayer night and day. He wrote Titus, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ. And he says, according to the faith of God, elected in the acknowledgement of truth, according to with all godliness and hope and of eternal life. To whom? To Titus, a true son in our common faith. The greetings, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote Philemon. But listen to what he says here in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. To the beloved Phia, our Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church that's in your house. The greetings, grace to you, and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The thanksgiving, I thank my God making mention of you always in my prayer. So you guys see in his acknowledgement, his way of writing here, you see what's going on here? Anybody see what he's doing here? Anybody? No? Okay. Well, I'm going to share it to you then. Maybe you'll see it after I share it. Maybe I've just seen things. I don't know. But I believe that the reason why Paul, the style back then, how he wrote every book that I read to you right now, the reason why Paul shared it this way is because this is how we should be with each other. Is that Morse code? Is that someone's stomach? What is that? Oh, okay. What's happening here? Come in. This is how we should be with each other, guys. You see his passion, how he's writing. He's praying and he's thanking the Lord for the church. Are you praying and thanking God for our place of worship? He's praying and thanking the Lord for every one of his fellow believers. Are you praying for one another? We should be praying for one. I thank God for those of you who pray for me. I have beloved who tell me, praying for you, always checking up on me. And I say, I feel really good about that because it makes me feel like, thank you, Lord. Thank you that, you know, my name is brought before, or my faith is spoken of by somebody else. That's a good feeling. We should be praying and thanking the Lord for our place of worship, for one another. We should have that same passion as Paul had for the body of Christ, for one another. It's the same passion that Jesus had as well. In fact, in John chapter 13, Jesus said this, listen, by this all will know that you are my disciples. By what? For if you have love for one another, by your love for one another. I got to share this testimony. Thursday. I took a brother in the Lord. He's in his late 80s or early 90s. He asked if I can give him a ride to go take care of a few things. And so I decided, yeah. He goes, I need to go to the bank. I said, no problem. I'll pick you up. So I picked him up. We went to the bank in La Mesa. And I wheeled him over there to the teller. And he's, you know, there. I said, hey, brother, I'm going to take care. This is my same bank. I'm going to take care of some business while you're dealing with what you're doing. I'm going to go to this teller. He said, okay. So I went to the teller. And I was sharing, you know, just being courtesy, nice. Hey, how's it going? How you doing, man? And I was looking at some pictures. Yeah, I'm from the 70s. And those were the golden years. And old school and talking about certain things. And as he got done with my transaction, I was shocked. But God knew I needed this encouragement. He all of a sudden stops, he looks at me, he goes, are you a minister? And I was like, does it say something on there? I mean, are you reading this somewhere? He goes, No, I'm not. And I said, well, why do you ask? He said, because it's how you present yourself, how you're talking. I feel like you're a minister. I said, yes, I'm a pastor. And I'm always telling people to speak Christianese. It's because I speak Christianese. And he was a Catholic. He said, wow. I said, man, you know what? You made my day today. God knew for such a time as this, I needed to hear this. God needed to remind me, hey, I'm listening. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, you know. But I was blown away by this because out of the blues, he just came out and said that. I don't know. I didn't say anything that would lead him to think I was, except maybe, I guess, my character or how I was happy or something. But he said that, yeah, he said, you're a minister. Well, Proverbs chapter 3:23 tells us, do not withhold from good to those who are due when it's in the power of your hand to do so. There's a reason why. If you have the power in your hand to do some good to somebody or to help somebody, do it because it reflects your relationship with the Lord. It gets God the glory. James says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. It's wrong. If you have the power to do good and you don't, it's sin. So that's what the Bible says. I'm not saying that. So make it your aim to impact somebody's life, like Paul did, like Jesus did. So you do the same. You know the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember the Good Samaritan where he helped that Jewish man who was robbed, he was beaten, he was naked, left for dead. And all these Jews, Pharisees, they walked by, they looked at him, and they didn't want nothing to do with him, and just walked him by. He was their own brother, a Jew, Jewish man. And then this Samaritan, who the Samaritans and the Jews didn't even like each other. He saw the guy, and he went over there, and he helped him out. He put clothing on him. He took him in, gave him a place to stay, told the guy who's helping him, hey, stay with him till he gets better, and I'll come back, and whatever, how much more it costs, I'll come and I'll pay it. Okay? Keeping that in mind and what Paul's doing here, in Luke chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus said, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Are you doing likewise? He's telling us, hey, Steve, a child of God, to whoever I can help, to whoever I can tell, to whoever I can reach out to, grace and peace unto you from the Lord Jesus Christ, from God the Father. And I thank God for the opportunity God has given me, divine appointments, that I can share the Lord, that I can pray for somebody, that I can help somebody, that I can do nothing and somebody will say, hey, are you a Christian? Look at verse 1 in Corinthians. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brothers. You know, you guys have the New King James Version? If you do, if you notice the word to be, that's in italics, okay? Okay, you see like it's slanted. And that, and the reason why is because that was added by the translators, and the purpose of that is to clarify the verse or the sentence of what they were saying to make it easier to understand. Or otherwise, if you had the King James, you got the thou and the thou. But I think the word speaks to itself, speaks for itself, okay? I don't think we need verses to be clarified. I don't think we need to do that because it actually, in the original manuscripts, it actually read Paul called an apostle of Jesus Christ. Not called, Paul called to be. He's called an apostle of Jesus Christ. Just like you are called to be a Christian, right? No. You are called a Christian. Okay? You're called a Christian. When I think of someone saying, yeah, I'm called to be a Christian, well, are you called or are you not? Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm not saying that that shouldn't be there because it is. God's word is anointed. I want to look at it more personal. Are you called to be or are you called? Okay, I think there's a little difference there. If you want to get technical, okay, if you want to get, look at it. I'm called a Christian. I'm not called a Christian because anybody could be a Christian. I'm called a Christian. There's a difference. You know, you go to these third world country because you're from America. They already think you're a Christian. Oh, yeah, you're a Christian because you're from the USA. But not everybody is a Christian. So, again, just like Paul, we're called a Christian. And then the word apostle, and I want to touch on this. The word apostle here, in the Greek, it means a messenger. It's an ambassador. Now listen to the definition of this, okay? And I want you to look at it and hear it and apply it to your life as a believer. How a worldly ambassador, okay, a one who represents a country, how you can take what his definition and apply it to your definition as a Christian. Listen, it means one who is sent. Okay, well, in the Greek, apostle is one who's sent out by Jesus Christ. Okay, but let's see this definition. An ambassador is an official envoy who represents a foreign sovereign. Okay, who do you represent? He's all sovereign, right? providing a link between his host country and the country he represents. What country are you from?
USA.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, you physically, yeah, okay. But we are, and I'm going to share that scripture, are from a heavenly citizenship, okay? Ambassadors work to build relationships and to develop policies that favor both the host and the home of the ambassador. Okay, we're benefited by when we go out and share, we are definitely benefiting that person because we're giving them Jesus Christ. Did you know that? I can't remember. You probably know where. I'm sure Frank does. Where in the Bible it says that your words are life and death to those who hear it. No, it's in the New Testament. I know it's somewhere in the epistles. When you share Jesus Christ with somebody, they're either going to receive it, it's life. If they reject it, it's death. And so I used to say, well, I don't want to send anybody to hell. I don't want anybody to die. But I have to share the word of God because I'm an ambassador. So your words, they build this relationship as an ambassador, both to the host and the home, to the ambassador. An ambassador is appointed by the leadership of those he represents and is given authority to speak on their behalf. Jesus gave his disciples in Luke. He says, I give you power and authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to preach the gospel. He says that an ambassador must walk a very fine line. He lives in one country, but he's responsible to another. He must represent the message of the leader who is not directly present, but he must also embody the character of his home country, following laws and customs that are not necessarily known or even welcome in the host nation. He must do this all while respecting the laws and the custom of that host. So again, Paul, he tells us that he's an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And when he says, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ, it's not an office. It wasn't a position that he signed up for or he tried to get. It wasn't something that he was trying to achieve. Hey, when he got knocked off his horse, it wasn't like he was there, I want to get knocked off my horse. He thought he was doing the will of God, and he got knocked off his horse. And I pray, Lord, if I need to be knocked off my horse, knock me off. If I need to hear something that I'm not supposed to be doing or I should be doing, knock us off our horses. But Paul, and it wasn't even a title or a badge. We don't need no stinking badges. I was responsible, and when I was the assistant pastor, I made all the badges for every leader. Everybody used to have a badge. It was funny. I had a badge, and I wore that badge even on my days off. I wore it everywhere. You know why? I used that badge to plant and water seeds for the Lord. Everywhere I went, they look, oh, you're a pastor. And I witness. And then I lost my badge. Paul, it's not a title. Guys, being a pastor is not about a title. You guys do the same work I do. All of you. Do you guys talk about Jesus? Do you guys read the Word of God? Do you pray? Do you share? Do you teach the Word of God, some of you? That's what a pastor does. The only difference is a title. It's a badge. I tell people, don't be a title. I hate titles. I hate people say, yeah, I'm a pastor, but they don't do nothing. They're just a title. It wasn't a title. It wasn't a badge or maybe a T-shirt he was wearing. It was who he was. It was who he was. It was his character. And his character was a character of his Lord and his home country in his life. Philippians chapter 3. I think it was Keith. Did you say that? Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Listen to what it says. Okay? You said USA. But, okay? Okay. Listen to what Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul said. He said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he's able even to subdue all things to himself." Your citizenship, okay, we live in USA, but your citizenship is heaven. That word, citizenship, be careful what I say. I did say ship, right? Ship, S-H-I-P. That word means alien. You are aliens. I'm calling ICE. Take me to heaven, ICE. I can say that because my nephew's part of ICE. So he hasn't knocked on my door yet. But I tell Carmen, I'm calling ICE. When she gets me mad, I'm calling ICE. Yeah. Our citizenship is in heaven, guys. That makes you an ambassador. That's you are God's ambassador, and you have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, even so we must speak, not as to pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." Don't be a man pleaser. Don't persuade men to God. There's a difference. Too many people want to please, look at me, look what I do. My Bible's bigger, walk around with a bigger Bible, you know, or whatever. Be a God pleaser. We are called to live here on earth, but we are to represent a different kingdom. I just read it, John chapter 18, verse 36. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And what did he say when he left? He said, "Hey, don't let your hearts be troubled. I've gone to prepare a place for you, and where I am, I'm going to come and get you." Why? Because your citizenship is the kingdom of heaven. So it's our responsibility to live and to reflect our official position of heaven as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Because we're in the world, but what? We're not of the world. You guys know this. You know this. And it's one thing like a great theologian. And you probably don't know this, but I would probably get his book. A great theologian, his name is G.I. Joe. He said this. He told this kid, "Now you know." I said, "No." The kid said, "Now I know." And he said, "And knowing's half the battle." I think those are some good words to hold on to. Knowing is half the battle. John chapter 17, 14, listen to what Jesus said. He says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because," why? "They are not of the world." Okay, you, not of the world. "Just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that they should be taken out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." We're in the world, but what? We're not of the world. But as we are in the world, Paul said also what? That we will be what? We will be what? Ambassadors, but what's the other thing? We will be about his business. Okay? He says, "I'd rather be in heaven." I don't know about you. I'd rather be in heaven, guys. I really do. I said, one time I said that, and someone said, you're selfish. Why am I selfish? Because there's so many people here who need to go to heaven, who are dying to go to hell. I said, "Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'll go to heaven. You stay back. And you can go out and give them the gospel." And then I shared in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, where he says, "For me to live is Christ." Are you living for Christ? "And to die is what? I'd rather be with the Lord. But if it means benefit you while I'm still here, then I will be about the Father's business." Just because I want to be with God doesn't mean I'm not going to stop evangelizing. I'm not going to stop preaching the God. I'm not going to stop speaking Christianese. I want to be with the Lord. I want to go home because that's where I live. That's my citizenship. This is just not a vacation, but until then, I'm going to be about the Lord's business. And as God's ambassadors, we have to learn to live as what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. Listen to what he says. 16. You with me? Okay, stay awake. Okay, we're going to end it soon because it's already 11. Jesus said this, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of what? Wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove." So as I'm still here, I have to learn how to be wise as a serpent, cunning, be very alert, you know, watchful, in the position of readiness. But at the same time, I got to bounce on. I got to be gentle as a dove. You know, that's what we're called to do. So as his ambassadors, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit in order to take the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, to the ends of the earth. He said that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be what? You will be a witness." That's what an ambassador is, a witness to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Because you guys are a bunch of nobodies willing to tell anybody about the one who can save everybody. I like to think that I said that one. I remember I've been saying that for a long time. I even shared that at the Horizon Big Church once. And then one day, Pastor Bobby came, "Hey, I want to share this song with you because they wrote this song about you." And I'm like, "Huh? Really? What is it, about some fat guy in a little coat or something?" And so he played it up here on this TV. And it was a song saying how the guy singing the song said, "I'm a nobody willing to tell anybody about the somebody who can save everybody." I love that. I love it. It's awesome. So we need to encourage men. We need to encourage women everywhere to be reconciled with God. That's the whole purpose. That's why you share. They need to be reconciled with the Lord just like we did. Get out there and share. So again, Paul was a messenger. I'm going to stop. Bear with me. Almost done here. He was a messenger, an ambassador of the gospel. He was sent out. He was called by the will of God for the gospel of Jesus Christ, not for himself, had nothing to do with him, or not for anybody else. He was appointed by God as a witness, as a missionary, with the purpose of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to wherever he could. Remember last week I said, first thing he did when he went into a village, a town, somewhere else, the first thing he did is he went to the church. He made it his custom. He took and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to wherever he was, because Paul's highest calling was wherever he was. Just like I tell you guys, the highest calling is not being in the ministry. The highest calling is wherever you are. That's the highest calling. And that is the purpose of taking the gospel to wherever you are. And it's God who calls us, calls men, women to serve him. And we didn't choose to serve him. We didn't do that. He chose us. And it's up to us to respond to that calling. And I'm going to leave you with these two verses. Actually, one verse, and then we're going to end it because I know now you can fall asleep because it's past 11. Listen to this verse, okay? And keep in mind, a lot of times when somebody gives us something, it doesn't mean as much as when we pay for it, okay? You know what I'm saying? I can buy something, and if I pay for it, I'm going to treat it differently than if somebody gives it to me and I don't treat it like. I treat it differently. Jesus said this, John 15:16, he said, "You didn't choose me, but what? I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Okay, put your hands like this. Everybody? Okay, I'm going to wake you up. Now I want you to look. Do you see any fruit? It's there. Spiritual fruit, not physical fruit, okay? It would be awful if you were walking around hanging apples or pears or bananas or something. Spiritual fruit. That you go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. That whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. He's not asking, he's commanding you to love one another. You guys don't have to like me, okay? I tell people, you don't have to like me, but you are commanded to love me. So you have to love me. So anyways, one more, Galatians 1:12, Paul, an apostle. Again, I shared this, not from men, but through Jesus Christ, God the Father, who has raised him from the dead. So we're going to stop there, and next week I want to again pick up about our calling next. So that we're called to be an apostle, and what else is our calling here, okay? So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we do thank you for the word. And Lord, I do thank you that that we can be that representative, and we can be anointed by your Holy Spirit with the power and the authority to be a witness, to be an evangelist, a missionary, whatever it may be, a teacher, a theologian, whatever, to bring the gospel to a dying world, to share with others. We're an ambassador, so we have to become a witness. And what we represent, who we represent is Christ. That should be our character. And so I just want to pray for everybody here. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them. You would bless them. You would give them divine appointments. That whatever they're going through, that divine appointment will take them off. Anything that might try to cut in on them, anything that might try to keep them from obeying the truth, or anything that they're struggling with, will take the focus off them and put the focus on Christ and share Jesus Christ, because faith isn't faith until you give it away. And so, Father, bless them, bless us, and we give you all the glory and all